morning. Welcome to the Daily Ding. Happy New Year. It's day four of 2019. We've got all your Thursday night NBA action and news covered. I'm your host, Dave DeFour, joined by the one name wonder, Nitz. What's up, Nitz?
Sup.
How are you feeling?
Listen, the Rockets-Warriors game just ended, so, you know, I feel
That's
great.
That's right. Well, coming up on the show, the fans tried to vote for the All-Star game again. Another Wizard goes down, and Kawhi Leonard was back in San Antonio. But first, Nitz, oh my gosh. The Rockets stun the Oracle crowd in overtime. I mean, they were down by, I don't know what the lead was. It was at one point at least 20 points. The Rockets come back and win 135-134 on a ridiculous James Harden three-pointer where he was actually fouled and didn't get the call.
Harden trying to get free. Down to three, down to two. It's a three. Good!
Harden continues his crazy run, five straight games of at least 40, nine straight games of at least 35. He had 44, 15 assists, 10 rebounds. Just ridiculous tonight from James Harden. Clint Capella with 29 and 21, the quietest 29 and 21 in the history of the NBA. Steph Curry had 35 and 6 in a loss, but was really not doing much in the fourth quarter, which we'll get to. Kevin Durant with 26 and 7. Nitz, this game also featured the single worst call miscall I've ever seen in a basketball game, and it nearly cost the Rockets the game. Kevin Durant was out of bounds, hopscotching or whatever he was doing. I don't know. He was doing his taxes out of bounds and then saved the ball, and the Warriors wound up getting a bucket out of that possession. Kudos to James Harden for not losing his cool and basically, I mean, he won the game. James Harden beat the Warriors almost single-handedly. He was ridiculous.
Yeah, I watched it happen. No, okay, first we do got to talk about that late out of game, out of bounds. That was insane. He had both feet just like completely planted on like outside, literally right next to courtside seats, and they didn't call it, which was hilarious. And then the entire play was a mess. And it's, you know, if I was not a Warriors fan, I would have been really upset at that bucket. But if we're talking about this game in general, James Harden is absolutely insane. That goes without saying. And what I want to talk about is, why is Steph Curry sitting so late in the fourth when it's a close fourth? And why is Durant the one? Why does Steph not have the ball in his hands? Just why? He shot once. Let's see. According to our friend Drew Schiller, he shot once in the last 4 minutes of the fourth.
And that was a fadeaway three in the corner. Is that correct? If I'm remembering correctly, it was something ridiculous.
I can't remember.
Listen, Steph Curry is the best offensive player in basketball, and if you're not running every possession in crunch time through Steph Curry, you are trying to hand the game to the other team. Kevin Durant in this game, he clearly, I don't know if he felt like he had something to prove. I don't want to, you know, try to get into his head, but he was trying to go back and forth with James Harden and just wasn't working.
Well, he shot 2 of 7 in the fourth or in the crunch time.
Yeah.
Why is that happening?
It shouldn't happen. I mean, and then if we can get to the final play, you know, James Harden hits just again, ridiculous three. Please go and watch the video. It was incredible. Should have gotten a free throw out of it to go up 135-134. The Warriors get the ball with 1 second left. They've got three of the greatest shooters in NBA history, and they don't even run a play. They just,
what play can you really run with a second left? I don't.
Well, no. I mean, an inbound play. There was no screen for KD. There was, you know, they weren't trying to get Steph free. There just was nothing. KD, you know, winds up with a shot that looked like, you know, Philip Seymour Hoffman from Along Came Polly. And it was just, ooh. I don't know. It really was just garbage.
It's super indicative of the Warriors in general, though. They're down one. Let's say in some miraculous chance they have a chance to win it, and they just don't care. They're completely, they were defeated. They had a 20-point lead going into that second half, and it should have never even gotten to that final play. It's just classic, what year are we in? 2018-19. Classic 18-19, and even going back to last season, 17-18 Warriors, of just not caring. And then also at the same time getting completely outplayed by James Harden and the fact that the Rockets weren't being sloppy as hell. They had their first turnover of the half was with a minute and a half left to go in the fourth quarter. You can't beat them when they want it more. They have one of the best defensive players of all time, and they're not playing as sloppy as you. So
James Harden was an avalanche in the second half. I mean, he just hit big shot after big shot, wound up 10 of 23 from three. I mean, he took 23 threes. That's a failure of your defense.
It's just James Harden.
Yeah, I mean, they're really like this game left me so speechless at times because I just can't believe that the Warriors, you know, being the best team in the league, looked like they did down the stretch in this game. And honestly, like the big news, what we're going to hear about a lot, Steve Kerr's rotations. I mean, you even brought it up. Why is Steph Curry not in the game? I mean, it was like 3:45 left in the fourth when he came back in. I get the desire to stagger Steph and KD, but you might not be doing it right. Like there needs to be some middle ground here. You got to get Steph in there a little bit sooner, in particular when you feel the lead starting to slip, as was happening in this game. Their offense just falls apart when he's not on the court. They can't do what they think they can do. They just don't have the shooting around KD and Klay Thompson. By the way, Klay Thompson actually had another good shooting night.
Klay's back.
4 of 8 from 3, 26 points. Looked great. But he only took 1 3 after, I think, in the fourth and overtime.
Of course he did. That's classic Warriors, classic Kerr, classic rotations, classic frustration. It's why they're not the best regular season team in the league by any means. Especially this season with like Klay and Dre being how they are offensively. Klay had a really great game today, but let's wait and see if it happens again because he had a slump. He came out of it, then he went back into like a real slump. So I'm still a little iffy on how Klay will probably revert back to the mean, but it's a little bit deep into the season to just pretend that this isn't a little worrisome. And then they're a regular season frustration. And then in the playoffs, you never see this happen with Steph. Steph would have been in there, which is why I'm not necessarily worried come April, May, but it certainly isn't helpful that those rotations aren't getting some kind of play right now.
By the way, James Harden's 23 three-point attempts is the second most in NBA history, which is, again, it's insane.
All right, listeners, join us every single Wednesday. Now, that's done for this week, but next week, you want to sign up Tuesday, you want to sign up on Wednesday for the FanDuel Back-to-Back Wednesday Challenge. You go to FanDuel.com/B2B. That's B, the number 2, B again. You're going to sign up. You put $5 in your account. FanDuel's going to put $5 in your account. You're going to take that money. You're going to play with B2B listeners every single Wednesday. If you win, like Jay Zub did last week, if you win, you get to come on the mailbag. You get to chop it up with us. You get to hang out. You get to ask questions. You get to answer questions. All that stuff on the mailbag on the next Friday after that contest. So again, FanDuel.com/B2B. Come play with B2B listeners.
In news, we've got a trade for Adrian Wojnarowski and Shams Charania, dueling banjos there. The Grizzlies have finally gotten rid of a Brooks, Marshawn Brooks, Wayne Selden, and 2 second-round draft picks. They sent those guys and those picks to the Bulls for Justin Holiday, who's actually not a bad pickup for them, a guy they could really use on the wing. So in order to make room for Marshawn Brooks, the Bulls had to release Cameron Payne, ending one of the worst NBA trades in history. Markieff Morris for the Washington Wizards is going to be out 6 weeks with a neck issue. He was diagnosed with a transient cervical neuropraxia and will be limited to non-contact basketball activities. You hate to see that, especially for a team that is already without John Wall. And Nitz, we got to talk about the All-Star game. The fan votes are in. Luka Doncic, Derrick Rose, and Dwayne Wade, they all received top 3 fan votes at their position. So I think we basically have to ban China from being able to vote for the All-Star game. Is that where we're at?
Oh, man. No, that's not where we're at. Where we're at is that fans vote stupid no matter what.
How would you solve this problem? Let me go through the fan vote real quick. LeBron James with over a million votes leads the way. Giannis Antetokounmpo at 990,000. And then Kyrie Irving. So that's your top three. I mean, Steph Curry, you hate to see Steph Curry coming in fourth here.
I mean, you took out hashtag NBA vote on social media. I think that's a huge loss. Just, I haven't even voted yet. I honestly barely know how. I have to go to what, NBA.com/vote or something.
I actually don't know.
Exactly. It's that extra step that just deters people from voting. And with the NBA having a major fan base on social media outlets, it just seems silly to me. So I'm not super surprised. I'm actually a little surprised he got first in guards in the Western Conference just because of that. But I guess we're going to have to see. I do want to talk about the fact that Luka is in there because I don't hate it. And I know that that might be a hot take, but he's really entertaining to watch. And All-Star might not. All-Star should be about the All-Stars in the actual league. And I don't really think Luka should be in there, a rookie, especially the way that the West is. There's just a lot of other guys that should be in there. But he's super entertaining. Yeah, and I wouldn't hate it if he was in there.
I think it's fine. I think Luka might be an All-Star. You know, I mean, it's not about who's actually like the 12 best players in the West. You know, there's a lot of other stuff that, you know, comes into play. Like, do you want Marc Gasol in the All-Star game or do you want Luka Doncic? I know who I want to watch. So, I mean, no offense to Marc Gasol because I do love watching Marc Gasol. But in an All-Star game, give me Luka. Let me see Luka and LeBron out there together. It's a lot more fun.
Can we also talk about the fact that Warriors are only going to have two All-Stars and should only have two All-Stars this year?
All right. It's a new year, which means you have a new opportunity to buy a ticket to the Boston Live Show. That is Saturday, March 2nd, at the end of the Sloan Analytics Conference at the Middle East in Boston. It's not the Middle East that's in this world. It's the Middle East that's the bar and club in Boston that we're going to go to. We're going to have a great show. Tickets are on sale to the general public. VIP sold out, but general admission is still there. Get your tickets soon. We only have a few tickets left. They can be found at the Count the Dings Twitter or go to Jade Hoy's page, Jade_Hoy on Twitter. Look for the Boston Live Show tickets. Get there, have fun, be a part of the experience.
In other games of the night, right here in San Antonio, Texas, Kawhi Leonard made the trip. Do we call this home? I don't know. But he made his return to San Antonio. Also, Danny Green, one of the other important pieces of that trade.
A 6'6 guard from North Carolina, number 14, Danny Green. 6'7 forward from San Diego State, number 2, Kawhi Leonard. 6'9 forward from New Mexico.
And the Spurs smacked the Raptors 125-107. This one was actually never even close. Kyle Lowry still out with the back injury. He had a cortisone injection, hoping he can get back soon and actually help the Raptors kind of turn around this little slide that they've been on. DeMar DeRozan with his first career triple-double, 21 points, 14 rebounds, 11 assists. Kawhi scored 21 with 5 assists, was booed the entire night, was booed off the court after his warm-ups. The fans were chanting traitor and Uncle Dennis at him when he was at the free throw line. Kawhi looked unperturbed. LaMarcus Aldridge had 23 points, 5 assists. Danny Green, clearly emotional. No points, 4 rebounds. Nets, this was a game that the Spurs clearly had marked on the calendar, in particular DeMar DeRozan, and the Raptors came out flat. They could not match the Spurs' emotion and energy.
God, they just totally unplayed them. And it's like you said, it was never close. They took that game in the first quarter, and then they were basically evenly matched for the rest of the three, and they could never get it back. I think they had like a 26-point lead just off of that first quarter, and they executed perfectly. Every time the Raptors made a mistake, the Spurs were right there to capitalize on it. It was very classic Spurs. And then, yeah, obviously, DeMar DeRozan had this circled on his calendar, and the fact that this was his first career triple double is, you kind of love to see that. This revenge game, the Raptors organization meant a lot to him, and while he's been very calm and cool about how he's handled all of this, it obviously has hurt him, so you love to see that. What you kind of hate to see is the way that Kawhi Leonard was treated, in my opinion. I know that some fans disagree and they love to say that you could go ahead and boo anyone and whatnot. And that's the fun and the spirit of sports. I think that's not how it should be, especially when that guy helped you win a championship as a finals MVP. It just makes no sense to me, but fine. He had a decent game. Danny Green having 0 points is shocking. And I'm going to just, I want to hear what you have to think about this, but without Lowry, this team is so exposed that he's just the heartbeat of that team. And I kind of took a look at that. They had a rough December in general. They lost, they came into this game with 11 losses. They lost 7 of those in December. And 6 of those were either during Lowry's slump or when Lowry, when Kyle, I can't even say his name, when Kyle was out. Which just, it's a little bit ridiculous how important he is to this Raptors team.
Well, I think that anytime you've got a player of his caliber and you get used to kind of having that guy, I think it does matter. I mean, you're taking a step back by inserting Fred VanVleet into the starting lineup, but also you're hurting your bench unit because Fred VanVleet is good.
And sure, so but you, if we're going to run with have, like, well, we're running with like Raptors are the deepest team in the league. So the fact that you have a guy, like you said, of Kyle Lowry's caliber coming out, they shouldn't be getting blown out like this, and they shouldn't be losing to the Magic.
Well, to be fair, the Spurs are on a crazy run. They've got the number one offense since December 1st. And in this game, they were 13 of 27 from three. That's hard to overcome. I mean, you know, giving up 13 made threes is quite a bit, but in particular in that sort of efficiency, Bryn Forbes was 6 of 7 from three tonight. And when you get a game like that, sometimes, hey, you know what, in this league, sometimes that happens and you just got to get on to the next one. But you do hate to see how dependent the Raptors are on Kyle Lowry in particular because of his injury history. And, we'll see if they can figure it out. I still think they've got some offensive issues in particular when their offense is just based around Kawhi and how he likes to isolate. In the other game, there were only three tonight, which is always fantastic when I'm hosting the Ding. The Nuggets beat the Kings in what was a very, very entertaining game. Nits, Jokic with 26, 13, and 6 tonight. Jamal Murray with 34 points in the second half. What happened in this game?
Oh, man. I mean, Jokic is a beast, as always. Murray was completely cold in that first half and then exploded in the second, which is very Murray-like. He's either completely cold or he's totally on fire. He's such an exciting player to watch in that regard. But give also a lot of credit to the Kings because A, they're fun, and B, they did, on a great defensive team, have a 13-point lead at the half. So we keep saying it every single time, but the Kings are fun to watch. However, the Nuggets are arguably top two, if not top one, teams in the West, and they're just starting to get healthy again. So I think tonight was a really good showing of that, and they're on a winning streak. They have a great record. They're about to be healthy. And this is just a little bit of what they're going to be able to do.
Yeah, Charles Barkley said he thinks the Nuggets are going to make the Western Conference Finals. How do you feel about that?
I wouldn't doubt it.
They're fantastic.
But again, we need to see them in the playoffs. It's so easy to see them right now. And we're, January? Happy 2019, everyone. We're in January. It's really easy to say that. But then come playoff time, a lot of guys won't show up. And if Murray has two games as cold as he did in that first half, which has happened to him before, we've seen him score 9 on like 19 or 20 shots, then it won't fly and they won't make the Western Conference Finals. So I think it totally depends.
And it should be noted they're 25 and 11. They're doing this without Will Barton, who is one of their more important players. I mean, if you go back and look at last season, he was responsible for quite a bit of their playmaking outside of Jokic. Jamal Murray plays a lot off the ball, and what Will Barton brings to the table as a playmaker is just huge for this team. They're going to have some interesting decisions to make when he comes back from that injury, whether or not to reinsert him in the starting lineup. Of course, they've been shuffling their lineups quite a bit because of the Millsap injury and the Gary Harris injury and all the other injuries they're dealing with.
Literally everyone's injured.
Yeah. I mean, even Jamal Murray, he had that ankle sprain that he's just been playing through. I mean, and he's 40 minutes playing the other night.
Yeah. Still playing through it right now, which is why 34 in the second half is insane. And they're 25-11 with everything that you just listed. That's pretty ridiculous to think about in the Western Conference.
Yeah, Mike Malone's doing a great job. And I think Jokic, you know, I'm going to become the guy that says everyone's in the MVP conversation. But it's January, right? Like, I think maybe if you've got like six or seven guys throwing their name out there as potential top five MVP guys, I think Jokic, I mean, you got to look at him. He's on the best team in the West right now. And he's clearly head and shoulders the number one guy for this team. You know, double-double machine and you know, six assists tonight, too. So, yeah, watch out for the Nuggets. They actually, they're going to be frisky, I think, in the playoffs. I'm really curious to see how that defense holds up.
Frisky is a great word.
And now we're at the line of the night. Nitz, I'm going to give you three stat lines. I want you to give me the best one from the night. And, you know, back it up with a take. James Harden, 44, 15, 10, and the game-winning three. Steph Curry, 35 and 6 in a loss. Jamal Murray with 36 points, 34 in the second half, 7 rebounds, 6 assists. Who you got, Nitz?
I'm a Warriors fan, but I'm not an idiot. So I'm going to give it to James Harden, 44 points, 15 assists, 10 rebounds. And that last shot to win the game was absolutely insane. He took over the dub. So it's got to go to Harden.
It's one of the best games I've seen all year individually of anyone. And I mean, I'm wondering how long he can keep this going. I mean, obviously they need him to do it. They're extremely reliant on James Harden and his offense. But this run is just, I mean, it's crazy. It's right up there with Kobe in January of 06. I mean, you know, I'm not the first person to say that. Actually, it's not even the first time this week I've said it. But he just keeps on piling up these kind of games. And I mean, the MVP talk is definitely going to be heating up. And here I go, adding another guy into my to my MVP conversation.
He's a front runner for sure. But let's see how, if he keeps this up, let's see how he looks in the playoffs, which is every year we say that.
That's going to do it for today's show. Make sure you like us on Facebook at facebook.com/countthedings. Subscribe to the back-to-back podcast feed. Our first mailbag of the new year will be coming later today. We put out a new Basketball Buds a couple days ago. New Nerdist She Wrote dropped yesterday. Go subscribe to the separate Black Opinions Matter Monday feed, which was hilarious and very problematic for me listening to it with my windows down. You can find that wherever you listen to podcasts. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast, The Daily Ding, as well as all of our feeds from the Back-to-Back Network, Kian Fahey's NFL Pod, The Interceptable, and of course, The House of Strauss. I want to thank you guys for waking up with us. I want to thank Rob Lopez for producing this whole thing all of last year and going forward in 2019. Nitz, you want to take us home?
Ding, ding.